What up, Love Quest Nation? You are listening to the latest episode of our 12 p.m. Sunday Experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Father, thank you for your word. I wanted to do a few other things before, but I'm going to do them at the end. I want to talk from the subject today of induced labor. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. What did I just say? I don't know who you are, nor do I care who you are. But this word today is not to do anything but induce labor. You, before this year is over, will give birth to what God has promised you to give birth in this year. Okay, a pandemic has not forfeited the promise. And so whatever God has promised for 2020, you have come into a day, if you open yourself to what God has to say to you at any given time, let me tell you, the inducing ain't gonna start at the end of the service. It started in worship. Right, the worship, we just a little epidural, just get you numbed up a little bit. Come some places we gonna poke might hurt a little bit. But when you leave here today, there's nothing for you to do after you leave today but push. Say push. And then you gotta say it a little like you like say push. Most folks don't like pushing. That's why we don't go to the gym, because everything at the gym you gotta what? Push. Starting with yourself. Induce labor. The power of fervent prayer. The power of fervent prayer. Look, fervent prayer does nothing but induce. It does nothing but give birth. This fervent prayer ain't no little, Lord, help me, please. No. Fervent prayer is you about to see something. I don't care if you give birth to a trash bag. You about to give birth to something. So I don't know what you're going to give birth to, but I'm giving birth to a whole lot of things that are going to be passed down the generation. I'm giving birth to peace, new levels of peace, new levels of love. Yes, prosperity. God shall supply my needs. I have big vision that he's given me. There's people that need to be taken care of. There's properties that need to be bought. There's businesses that need to be started. The kingdom shall be advanced. Do I got anybody with me? Okay, well, we got to give birth. Say push. And sometimes when you're having a baby, guess what? You boo-boo on yourself. So I don't want you to think you're about to just give birth to promise. You also about to get rid of some stuff. Something beautiful and nasty about to come out of you. Either way, you about to be a brand new person. Say push. Then say, ooh. There you go. That's for the other stuff. James 5 says the earnest. I'm glad my mama didn't name me Ernest. Anybody named Ernest, I'm sorry. Not I'm sorry, just you're earnest in this way. The earnest, heartfelt. That's what earnest means. It means heartfelt. Not Bert and Ernest. The earnest, heartfelt, continued. You can't give birth unless you keep what? Pushing. Salt and pepper. Push it. Push it real good. Stop. There we go. Thank you, sir. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the what? Righteous man or and what? Woman. What does the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man? It makes what? Tremendous, not just power. Tremendous. Undeniable. Something gotta happen, power. Something gotta move, power. Something gotta shake. Something gotta change, power. Say something gotta move. Come on, something gotta move. Something's got to change. Something's got to shake. Say push. Tremendous power. That was weak, but next time I come around, we're going to do it with a little bit more power. Available. It makes power available. Look, a baby, a child is a blessing to a mom and a dad. But if you don't cultivate it, if you don't nurture it, if you don't take care of it, if you don't watch it, if you don't train it, that thing can come up and grow up and be a very bad thing in your life. Having a baby only gives you and that child potential. Fervent, effectual prayer only makes power available. And it's been people toiling, praying for 30 hours, no power. Filled with the Holy Ghost, but not led. Full of power, but still shook. Full of power, but got to walk across the street because a demon-possessed person just came on the block. Full of power, get fired, faint. Full of power. And God says, no more. Coming out of this pandemic, you have to steward and walk in the tremendous power that God has given you. Period, point blank. The verse goes on and says, Elijah. See, I want you to see what, before I move on, fervent prayer stimulates, it induces, it activates, it energizes, it causes movement. Fervent prayer. You cannot have fervent prayer continuous and not be armed and ready to go out and be productive. Fervent prayer, fervent prayer, fervent prayer. Then it goes to give you an example. Elijah was a human being. He was a what? One time, he was a what? Just like you. Do I got any other humans in here? Amen. If you raised your hand at that moment, you are for sure human being. And if someone next to you didn't raise their hand, they are possessed. But before they leave, I promise you, they're going to be changed in Jesus' name. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have. With feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. He was just like you and I. And he prayed what? Earnestly for it not to rain. Say power. You see how God's servants work with heaven and earth. We working together. It's a partnership. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, you see this partnership. He told you, I give you the keys to heaven. And he bound up the rain. And no rain fell on the earth for how long?
3 years.
And how long? 6 months. Oof. 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed. And he loosed. He bound up and he loosened. He tightened and he relaxed. I want y'all to see this. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you see, you know what I'm saying? Contractions. That's how contractions look in the spirit realm. They tighten up and they loosen. Tighten, loosen. Tighten, loosen. You got it? Contractions. They tighten up and he loosened. No rain. Right? When somebody slides, when somebody is out in baseball and they strike out, umpire does this. Huh? You out. Go sit down. It's over. Okay? When they're getting ready to close a song, you might see Effie lean all the way back with her long legs and go like this. That means song is over. Okay? That means we're ending the song. Inspector Gadget, go Gadget Effie. You know God sent him. He could not exercise his gift in too many churches out here. Absolutely. See, he's been going, searched all over, been bound up. He ain't never, when last time you played Inspector Gadget in a church, bruh? Exactly. It's all kind of your favorite R&B songs. Oh, man, you have been set free in Jesus' name. So you see it. So he bound up the rain, and then look what he said. He prayed again. Say again. You see, consistent. Consistent. Consistent don't always mean the same prayer. Sometimes your prayers is to bind up. Sometimes your prayers is to loose. Dealing with the same thing. You can't always pray for release. You can't always pray for release. Sometimes you got to learn how to pray for closed doors. All our prayers bombard heaven. Lord, open a door. Lord, where my stuff at? Sometimes, Lord, please close the door. Have you ever had have your mama, when she was watching something she wasn't supposed to, she put her hands over your eyes. Right, Lord, close the window, close the door. It's over, it's over. Lord, help me walk away from the closed door. Some of our prayers can't just always be open, 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 loose, loose, loose. It's got to be close, 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 tighten, 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 purge, 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 get them out, get them out, get them out. And then he prayed again, and the heaven supplied rain. The heaven supplied rain, and the land produced. Woo! In the power of his prayer was drought and fruit. Life and death. Partnership. Can you walk with the Lord tight enough to know when to close doors in your prayer life? This is what fervent. I want you to understand fervent. It's intentional. It's not asking, it's agreeing. Fervent prayers breaks the spirit of delay over your life. I'm trying to help you. Fervent prayers breaks the spirit of delay. We see Daniel praying for 21 days. Angel on the way to start drop off the goods. Okay, angel on the way to drop off the goods, but there was a what? Delay. Angel came and said, I'm glad you continued to pray. For there was some resistance. Caleb, you ain't writing notes, bro. You texting somebody. I can tell the smile. Busted. I love his heart, though, because he like you right, Pastor. My bad. Thank you. My bad, Pastor. Amen. I see you. And whoever he texting out there, turn your phone in right now. I love my church, man. I'm telling you, I love my church. Fervent prayer breaks the spirit of delay. Over there laughing at he shut up the heavens. Induce. Succeed in persuading or influencing someone or something to do something. Look, succeed. To induce is to succeed in persuading. And if you're gonna persuade something or somebody, you're gonna have to be convinced and persuade it yourself. The word, I think was it Abraham, I believe? No, it was Paul, I believe. It was somebody that loved the Lord, said, I am persuaded. Before you start seeing miracles in your city, you have to be persuaded by the miracle working power of the Lord Almighty. Induce is succeed in persuading or influencing someone to do something. To induce. Fervent prayers are prayers full of faith. When I'm praying a fervent prayer, I am convinced. I am persuaded. Say, I'm persuaded. I am persuaded. Fervent prayers are prayers full of faith. Fervent, faith-filled prayers move the heavens. Fervent, faith-filled prayers. Tell them you call them back. Fervent, faith-filled prayers move the heavens. Fervent, faith-filled prayers move the heavens. On the count of three, everybody gonna say fervent, faith-filled three times. Fast as you can. Ready? One, two, three. Y'all all look like beavers. Fervent, faith-filled prayers move the what? Heavens. Hey, Malachi, come join me on the front row, son. Everybody give it up for my son up here. Amen. Amen. Come on, buddy. Love you. With all that drip on you. Amen. You ain't supposed to be in the back with all that drip on you. You got to be on the front row dripping like that. Amen. Amen. Mighty man of God, row right there. There you go. Now you're uncomfortable. Amen. Fervent people. People of fervency are people that keep the altar lit. Yeah. The Lord says, I'm gonna light the altar, but the priest gotta what? Keep it lit. When you come to Love Quest, what we like to do? Keep it lit. Keep it lit. When I used to smoke weed. Be free now in Jesus' name. One of the things high people get mad at, because, bro, you held on to it too long. You let it go out. Right, Pastor Daniela? Right? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? I know you do. First time attendee, like, oh, I know what you do. I holler back. Amen. Hey, it's welcome. Let's go. The point here is if you're going to keep something lit, you got to keep it moving. The Bible says fervent prayer is not only passionate, it's continuous. And if we're going to be a church that stay lit for Jesus, we can't afford to stay away from the local church. We can't afford to not pray. We can't afford to not worship. We can't afford to not be challenged and be around accountability. We got to what? Keep it moving, because he lit the altar. We got to what? Keep it lit. Say, keep it lit. Absolutely, we're going to keep it lit. And that's my job up here, to try. When I see a little fire going out, one way you kept your cigarette or whatever it was lit is you could blow on it. That's how you get a wildfire. Wind. And sometimes you need to go into a place where they're gonna blow on your little ember. Accountability blows on embers. It might feel like they trying to put your fire out. No, we trying to blow on it, because there's stuff in your life that's causing your fire to go out. But we call to what? Keep it lit. Keep it lit. You got a baby inside of you. I got to keep you encouraged. Elizabeth didn't give up. She kept going, and then Jesus walked in the room, and little baby John just, ooh, here we go. He got around fire. 2 Timothy says, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in. There's a gift, there's a baby, there is something inside of you that is meant to give birth. That's why we come up here and trust in the Lord. We ain't just singing. We're trying to stir it up. We're trying to make that baby inside of you leap. We're trying to make you hope again, dream again, love again, forgive again, sow again, run again, dance again, laugh again, clap again. That's what we in here trying to do. Not around here spending time on cracking jokes. Man, I take advantage of every little funny, not all, because there's a lot of moments that my mind say, go ahead and deal with. But no, these jokes are intentional. These moments of laughter is, and some of y'all have not laughed in I don't know how long. And then you're gonna come to church for another serious message? No, Holy Spirit is funny. He's the stand-up comedian of all stand-up comedians. God is hilarious. We just like comedy that feed our flesh. But nothing richer than spiritual comedy. Yes. He the Bernie Mac of... You don't burn, Bernie. Call him Bernie. Bernie Mac. And let us... He say, and let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we can stir up each other. Like, you know, man, I don't want to be around nobody. Have anybody ever stirred your anger up? Yes. Probably today or yesterday or something like that. If you got kids, you stirred anger every day. If you got a spouse, there's a temptation to be stirred up. Newlyweds, stirred up every day. Older, you know how to avoid stir-ups. But the Lord says that we should be a people that look to how to stir each other up, induce each other, to compel each other, energize each other, instigate love, instigate joy. You say, stir up, stimulate, and incite. Pray we have a stimulating atmosphere. Stimulate, look, he says, stir them up, find a way. Another translation said, find a way to spur your neighbor to love. You know, you spur a horse. It's the kind of horses I grew up around. Right? Oh, look, stir, kick. Find a way to instigate. And sometimes, look, I don't care if you're mad at me because I'm holding you accountable. I don't care if you mad at me because I say lift your hands up one more time. It's good for you. You don't say nothing when the dentist say ah. Ah. And then he put that door stop in your mouth. That neck bone in your mouth, and you sitting there for 3 hours with lockjaw, dry. Hey, I'm good. No, but you don't. So when somebody is in church, lift your hands, clap. I know you don't feel like it, but it's time for a root canal. Hey. It's time to get to the root of the issue and stop trying to trick church folks. Walking in church, I'm good. No, you ain't. Get up under the spiritual x-ray and worship. Oh, okay, I see the attitude. You get an attitude, huh? 2 hour, 15 minute service. Attitude. Offended. Thought you was good. Thought you was walking in love. Thought you loved the presence of God. No, we're going to stir you up. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion. Doing beautiful works as expressions of love. Listen, you've come today, there's some people I'm talking to, you've done all you could do. Can I spur you? Can I stir you? You've done all you can do up to this point. Thus saith the Lord, you have done all you can do in your knowledge, your effort. You have tried. You've tried to provide. You've tried to fight. You've tried to kick the habits. You've tried to stop porn. You've tried to stop anger, rage. You've tried to stop cussing. You've tried to stop smoking. You've tried to stop clubbing. Well, the pandemic helped you with that. You tried to stop cigarettes. You've tried. And the Lord comes today and says, I am very aware that you've done all you know how to do. You've worked with all you've had. Like, well, I was born into this. I don't got enough money. If I had enough money, if I had enough resources, I would do this. If I had enough knowledge, I would do that. If I had enough friends, I would do that. If I had a church home, I would do that. If I had leadership, I would do that. If I had a car, I would do that. You've worked with all you have. Am I talking at least one person? That is tired, on the brink of being tired, you are trying. Are you trying to hand out some grace this morning? You're trying. You're trying to understand. You're trying to fight. You're trying to keep going. You're trying to smile. You're trying to work the word. You're trying to walk by faith and not by sight. You're trying to keep singing. You're trying to keep dancing. You're trying to love your family. You're trying to keep your marriage going. You've tried. You've worked with all you have. You've shed enough tears. Anybody just cry at night? I laid awake at night. That's all right. Jesus will fix it after a while. Trouble in my way, trouble in my way. I had to cry sometime, to cry sometime. I sound like I ain't got no teeth in my mouth, huh? Jesus will fix it after a while. You shed enough tears. That was written in Gummy Records. Gummy Records. Gummy Records. Signed by Harriet Tubman in Jesus' name. You've shed enough tears. Any men in here man enough to admit that you've cried and need to cry? Me, I know we got all the crybabies on this side. We got a man right here. We got Pops, he admitting. And all you millennials, you need to cry. When you learn how to cry, you stop being a slave. And what do I mean by that? When you can't express how you really feel, you drive to cover up what you feel. So that's why you work, and that's why you slave, and that's why you trying to keep things together. And God never asked you to keep it together. He asked you to be broken. Contrite heart. Our wives are waiting for men to be broken. You think, and because they don't know what they need, they make you think they need macho. They really need a man that's broken, and that's laying at the feet of Jesus, live at the feet of Jesus. That's what every woman in here need, is a man that surrendered to the Almighty God, that worships God, that can cry and worship, that can pray on behalf of his family while his wife and his children sleep. He's walking around, tossing and turning, not swigging a beer, but praying over his family, praying over vision, praying over direction, praying over vision. I'm trying to stir you up right now. What the world say a man is not what a godly man is. Yeah, you don't work, you don't eat, but a certain level of ignoring God, if you don't work on your soul, it's no good if you can't leave your kids' faith. Money can't buy miracles. You've paced enough floors. I don't know about you, but maybe we don't got a pacing generation. Maybe that was just my grandma or some of the older people. But man, there's people here because someone paced for you. Somebody paced for you. A grandma, a grandpa, a mama, a daddy pace for you. And when they gone to glory, you're going to realize that it's your turn to pace. See, that's that agape love that will stay up all night for somebody else. Not tripping over. See, grandma was more concerned about Uncle Willie being sober than she was about rent. So she was up at 2 a.m. praying for the sobriety of her son, not the rent for her landlord. Because she understood where peace really came from. You've paced enough floors. It's time for special delivery. Anybody ever watch Blue Chip with Martin Lawrence in it? Special delivery. Pizza, pizza. You got to watch it to really understand what I'm talking about. Super funny. I laugh every single time. His time, it's time for special delivery. It's a delivery of birthing something. Listen, but you also realize there's deliverance at birth. You not only deliver a baby, but that poop represents getting rid of things that ain't supposed to stay. Listen, I had a friend just had a baby. They had to induce labor, and he texted me. He was like, I'm glad the baby didn't poop in the womb. Selah. It's been the grace of God keeping you from allowing the poop to mess with your lungs, to get inside your inner parts. You've had to deal with pain, but pain ain't took you out. You've had to deal with some challenges, but it ain't took you out. You think it's hard, but the toxicity of the challenge have not gotten in your blood system, because there's a blood came from the name of Jesus that's inside your bloodstreams. Yes. Say, I'm covered by the blood. You know, we're not just having a baby. Ooh, see, you see, ooh, that's what the midwife or the doctor do. That's what Dr. Jesus do. While they lay that baby on your chest and you excited, they cleaning up the poop. See, the Lord's saying, I need you to focus on what you're about to give birth to. I'll clean up the mess. You forfeiting the blessing trying to clean up the mess. You don't have the capacity to clean up the mess. Woo! I'm glad I serve a God where I can leave the mess to him. Where is that in the word? He say, cast all your mess upon me, because I what? Care about your mess. I was in the labor room with my wife. My wife wasn't having to worry about wiping herself. She didn't have to worry about cleaning up everything that came out of her. All she had to do is be, number one, relieved. And then all she had to do was receive. I'm just telling you, we're in that season where all you got to do is what? Believe. And all you got to do is what? Receive. And the Lord says the blood is going to clean up the rest. Yeah, I receive it for you. Ephesians 6. I was going to say Elder 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand, then do what? Stand. That's what I'm telling you. The Lord is saying he has seen you try as hard as you can. And understand, the Lord knows the cards you were dealt. He knows the things you inherited. And so what the Lord is about to do in this season coming, understand, he is saying, stand. Now, I'm about to force some things to come forth. That's why I think a couple months ago, I had said that the Lord said, make sure you understand this season is about stewardship. Why? Because you're about to have birth to some things you didn't plant for, you didn't sow for, you didn't even pray for. I didn't pray for Malachi. Mm-mm. I didn't pray for Micah, nor did I pray for Malia. We just know we wanted a baby. Then they showed up. I didn't pray for attitude. I didn't pray for all of that. I didn't pray. The very thing that's a blessing is not only meant to bless you, but understand, you got to understand that the attitude is a part of bringing blessing as well. Because the attitude shape you. See, kids aren't just a blessing. They're cultivators. They help you walk in agape. Because you got to raise some children that you like. I didn't ask for all this, God. He said, I know, but I'm trying to get you. See, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten what? Son, you got to learn how to hand your children to who? Jesus. So go and eat up all my food. I asked my daughter the other day. We had a real good, real talk. I said, sweetie, do you want a provider or you want a dad? Because kids, what you got to understand is you can shut yourself off from getting the dad or the mom you want and you need. Because we're human. And there's some stuff we just ain't got to tolerate. We got to take care of you. But we ain't got to tolerate your attitude. And you're not going to run this house. You're not going to run around and just be have an attitude. Well, I need a computer for my school. Well, you're going to have to use your teachers. It's crazy. We got to get him a computer. This is absolutely buffoon. Buffoonery. I didn't ask for all that. And that's a serious question. Do you want a provider from God or do you want a relationship? Because you think you need provision, but you actually were born for relationship. And you are robbing yourself of the quality of life when you only come to God as provider and not papa. Yeah, papa gonna hold you accountable. Provider gonna give you what you ask for, what you think you want. But you realize you worked really hard to get it and then gave God credit. No, you worked hard. You worked overtime. Your money bought that. I'm talking about things that you didn't work for, things you didn't ask for, blessings you didn't sow for, beyond your imagination, beyond what you can ask, think, dream, or imagine. I'm talking about giving birth. This is that season. Because some things that you didn't ask for are things you gonna need even if you don't need them now. See, I understand that my children are serving a purpose. Right now, I'm raising them, but it may become a day where they're going to need to take care of me. You see how it works. Sometimes God is trying to get things in your life now, ask you to steward it because it's going to take care of you later. Goodbye. Today, as we stand, he will induce. He will stir up, he will spur, he will fan, he will blow, he will stimulate, he will encourage, he will compel. As you stand, he will what? Induce. As you stand, he will what? Induce. Labor induction is creating contractions in the uterus before labor starts on its own. There is a natural thing, and then there's a supernatural thing. Y'all following? Are y'all tracking? Labor induction creates a thing that causes you to push to give birth to what was already on its way. So when we're talking about inducing labor, God is about to supernaturally help you give birth. He is about to stimulate some areas in your life that is going to force you to push. Sometimes he'll use the enemy to cause some contractions. Understand, whatever you've been going through is only been because it's time to push. See, because if you don't have nothing that force you to push, you might get relaxed with something that's going to kill you. And then before you know it, the thing going to poop inside your womb. Some of y'all done slept with stuff too long. You done sipped too long. You done puffed too long. You done snorted too long. You done opened your mouth about some things too long. You done walked in unforgiveness too long. And the Lord says, I love you so much, I can't wait for you to get it. Once you induce labor, contractions begin shortly after. So after today, if you've been stirred up today, if you've received the word, expect this week some contractions. Some of you have already, whether you have not experienced contractions, you are about to, but if I have to put a name on what you've been going through, it's called contractions. So do not be weary in well doing, for if you faint not, you shall what? Give birth. Oh, buddy. Keep pushing. Keep arguing if arguing is leading to birth. You just gotta argue according to the word. Ooh, amen. Labor induction, also known as inducing labor, is the stimulation of uterine contractions during pregnancy before labor begins on its own to achieve vaginal birth or natural birth. God don't want you to have a C-section. God don't want to have to lay you down and cut you open. You don't have to get to C-section season. The Lord has a time and a slot and a season for birthing, and you just got to participate. But regardless, he gonna get it out of you. Why? Because there's been somebody's prayers that have already set this thing and agreed with God. Everybody in here is in a bloodline where somebody prayed for you. It's too late. You're going to be the worst thief, the worst drug addict. You're going to be the worst at it because it's too late. Somebody has already prayed for you. It's too late. God is committed. He's watching over his word to perform it. So you can go and spend money. You can go lead a country. You can do what you want. You'll be back to wherever God has called you to be. You're going to be right there. Labor induction. A healthcare provider might recommend labor induction, here we go, for various reasons. Primarily when there's concern for a mother's health or a baby's health. Do you know not walking in the promise too long is dangerous? Not walking in true identity for too long is dangerous. There's a grace for you to avoid God identity, God purpose, God promise. But going too long out of the will of God is very dangerous to you as well as the people in your life you're supposed to give birth to. The people you're called to, it's dangerous for them the longer you take not walking in him. Trying to help you. You got some babies out there waiting on you to say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Understand. It's recommended. I believe the Lord is recommending and he's telling. I can't wait no longer. The window of time is closing and we just need to push. I don't know about you. You can look across the world, but everybody's trying to push through. Some will just push out bacteria. Some will give birth to what God has promised. Some will have stillbirths. We've all given birth too early to stuff, and we squandered it. What happens after you induce labor? That's a good question. I'm glad some of you asked. I'm glad you're interested. The cervix softens and starts to what? Oh, I want you to follow. You tracking? The cervix softens and starts to what? Open. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. All right, stop. That's Paul Morton. That's Paul Morton. The cervix softens and starts to what? Open. You'll get contractions. See, look, whether the baby is ready to come out or not, the cervix starts opening. Whether you're ready for what God has for you, the window is opening. The door is opening. Whether you've been studying or not, the call is here. Whether you have been praying or not, the challenge is coming. It doesn't matter what you're ready for, it's just time. Hey, look what happens. You'll get contractions and the waters break. Oh, man. Oh, man. The cervix softens. He said he'll crush through the bronze ceiling. He'll turn crooked paths into straight. He'll soften the hard. He'll make a way where there was no way. He called dry bones to life and put flesh on them. The cervix softens and starts to what? Open. When something softens, it can be used. That's why he says, I will take their hearts of stone and give them a heart of what? Flesh. The cervix softens and starts to open. You see mudslides. You see things. Why? Because when rain and flood comes, what happens? The soil begins to what? Soften. And what was holding the house before, it can no longer hold the house. It's got to what? Break. And I don't know what's been holding you back, but something is about to break for you, through you, in you. It's got to break. The cervix softens and starts to open. You'll get contractions and your waters break. What does the cervix do? I'm glad you asked. The cervix acts as a door. Oh man, this is so good. To the uterus, which sperm can travel through to fertilize eggs. The cervix acts as the door. The thing that was a door that was closed now begins to soften. The closed door now is becoming an open door. The very thing that kept things out is about to push something out. The cervix acts as the door to the uterus, which sperm can travel through to fertilize eggs. Here, you ready? When your body is not carrying a child, your cervix helps keep unhealthy things out of your body, like tampons and bath water. Some of y'all women are like, I didn't even know how I work. Lord, give us spiritual eyes right now. May we not be intellectual right now. May we have prophetic eyes to see what you are saying to us. May you be able to penetrate past people's skull, their head, their education, their diplomas, and open up their minds to receive the revelation that you are pouring out. When your body's not carrying a child, when you're in a season where you're not pregnant, when things not cracking, there is something in place. Those doors that were shut were meant to protect you, because God had to preserve the womb for when he was ready to give birth to something.
Yes, that's right.
let me help you. There are barren wounds, which mean your womb cannot not only give birth, you can't even get pregnant. So not only is something not able to go in, something's not able to go out. Your cervix helps keep unhealthy things out of your body. As Ezekiel 47 mentions, it's time for the floodgates to open. When you look how floods happen, when you look how water travels and takes over cities, it breaks down walls, it breaks down soil, it breaks down and it rushes through. There's activity that has been going on in your cocoon. It's been going on in the dark. It's been going on in this season that you can't quite understand. We are in very obscure times, but I'm here to tell you, the Lord has been. There's been some hiccups inside your womb. You know, any woman that's ever been pregnant, you know, a baby can hiccup inside. The baby tosses and turns. The baby kicks. The baby eats. Baby sleeps. There's activity going on. And sometimes it's painful. But then there comes a time where the Lord says, time is up. It's got to come out the oven. He's been cooking. It's got to come out. Come on, say it's got to come out. Now, I'm only talking to the people who are at a frustrated place like a full-term mama. Like you forget, you're not going through all those emotions no more. All you want is what? Out. Get this thing out. I love all the pictures. I'm glad people bought stuff. I'm glad people taking me out to eat, people shopping, my husband rubbing my feet. I'm tired. Get it out. Some people like the attention more than the birth. So you don't want to give birth because you're afraid to lose the attention. You can't even get out the car no more, so somebody got to come and get you. You get special service at restaurants. Let's sit you over here. Wow, you're really big. Only time is kind of safe to call a woman big. But all you want is out. Whether you want out of this feeling, whether you want out of this sadness, whether you want out of this anger, whether you want out of this stagnation, whatever it is, everyone has gotten to a point in their life where they're like, God, I just want out. It's got to come off. Whatever's been tied to you, whatever imaginations of yourself, whatever strongholds, whatever stigmas, whatever stereotypes, whatever, the Lord said, he said, I'm going to take that spirit of heaviness and I'm going to give you a garment of praise. He said, that heaviness got to come off. It's got to come off. Now, again, some people don't mind the heaviness because with heaviness, you get attention. Oh, are you okay? Let's meet a few days a week. I'm going to pray for you. Remember that story, some of those other ways of praying, right? We don't want to pray for ourselves. We don't really want to be delivered. We want to be delivered, but if we get delivered, then we won't get treated the same. But it's got to come off. So I'm talking to the people that want it off, want it out, want it done. Push past. My heart for you today is that you can push past possibility into promise. Push past possibility into promise. Tell your neighbor, say, push past possibility into promise. Push past possibility into promise. It's up there. Amen. Push past possibility into promise. I'm going to give you some time to write it down. You need to remember that. A lot of people is satisfied with potential. Potential only leave you with hope. But God didn't want you to stop at hope. He wants you to produce. We got to push past possibility. See, when you like potential, you'll be satisfied with manna. Satisfied with quail. Right? No. The Lord got ribeye for you. You over here satisfied with quail. Push past possibility into promise. Ephesians 3 says it like this. I pray that this is my prayer. This is my prayer. This is a fervent prayer. I pray that he would unveil within you. Say within you. Within me, the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength. Where might supernatural strength happen? It floods your inner man. Your inner man. There's some activity. The prayer is, Lord, I pray that there's something that happens on the inside that gives them power to push something on the outside. Floods your innermost being with his divine might and what? Explosive power. That is dunamis power. That's explosive power. Dunamis power. That's the Acts 1:8 power. Dunamis power. It's ability, efficiency, and might. I pray that something on the inside is stirred up in such a way that it forces something on the outside. You do know what's on the inside is meant for you to share. And that's God's plan with your kids. It was for you for 9 months. But it's time to push out. Now daddy can enjoy them. And then the world can enjoy them. Then their friends can enjoy them. Then their school can enjoy them. Then their coworkers can enjoy them. Whatever God has placed on the inside of you is not for you to idolize. It's for you to nurture, cultivate, birth it, raise it, share it. Steward your womb. I don't know who I'm talking to, but steward your womb. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. Luke 1, we've heard about this story before. And it occurred that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, when Elizabeth heard the sound waves, the voice of a woman filled with fire. When Elizabeth heard the voice, you do know whatever you're pregnant with has a voice. And whatever you're pregnant with, it does impact other people with whatever they're pregnant with. The baby leaped in her womb. When Elizabeth heard the voice of the Savior's mother, the baby that had been still now was brought to life. Why do you need to give birth? Why do you need to give birth to the prophecy inside your womb? Because there's somebody else that's barren that needs to hear the voice of a lit man, need to hear the voice of a stirred up woman, that need to hear, be around a woman. See, there's a lot of activity. When my wife started her contractions, look, everybody woke. Bags packed. Folks had packed up their cars for days because they, you get some people, they go to back and forth to the hospital because they just feeling something. And doctors send them back home. But understand, you need to be around people that are having contractions. How many people ever hung out with barren people? And I'm not talking about literally barren. I'm talking about people with no hope. People that speak death, draining, heavy. We need to be around those people, but make sure you're the one calling dry bones to life. It says, and Elizabeth was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Whatever is in you has the potential to fill somebody else's life. And she cried out with a loud cry. Who? Elizabeth. And then exclaimed, blessed, favored, favorite of God above all other women are you. And blessed, favorite of God is the fruit of your what? Womb. And how have I deserved that this honor should be granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You do know you're supposed to be a blessing in other people's lives. And what God has caused you, look, this Elizabeth began to prophesy. I want you to see this cycle of life. Elizabeth is discouraged. Jesus walks in the room. She gets ignited and brought back to life and hopeful and rejoices and filled. And then she begins to speak life back over the woman that brought life to her. You see this cycle of life. When you're around other pregnant people, around other stirred up people, God got a word for you. So the person that you're meant to bring life to might have a blessing inside their womb for you. You don't know what you're missing out on by holding it to yourself, by delaying the process. We got to push, because what you need and what you're asking for is on the other side of your push. For behold, the instant the sound of your salutation reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for what? Joy. And blessed, happy, to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord. She's so good. When a person filled with fervor comes around you, it stirs the life up out of you. You ever been around a passionate person, a lit person that's just, even when you talk to them and they're down, there's just like still fire, there's still life coming. It's almost like they always got something to offer. They always have something to help build you up. That's that agape. Even if they're tired, they still spitting out wisdom for you and still trying to encourage you. That's because you're pregnant. Here's an example. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. And even when I want to hold it in, I can't. God allowed the stillness so that the movement would cause great rejoicing. The stillness in her womb is just as much of why she rejoiced than Jesus being in the room. A season of drought, a season of obscurity is also what helped and will help you bounce back to a new level of joy in your life. The stillness is divine. The stillness is meant to be. The obscurity is meant to be. Gross darkness will cover the earth, but the glory arise and what? Shine, because the glory of the Lord has what? Come upon you. The stillness, the drought, the darkness, it's for a reason. The Lord is setting the stage. Fervent prayer echoes of prophecy. Fervent prayer echoes of prophecy. Fervent prayer just puts in its mouth. It just gives volume to what God said. And it's just banging on heaven. It's agreeing. It's loosing. It's binding. It's agreeing. It's receiving. It's believing. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer ignites contractions that lead to life-producing pushes. Life-producing pushes. Life-producing pushes. Have you ever pushed and ain't nothing came out? What is that called? Have you ever experienced spiritual constipation? Have you ever been around spiritually constipated people? No matter how good a time you have having, it is going to always come around what they bitter about, what they upset about. They dampen the party. They dampen the mood. Right? I've been there. Everybody in here has been there. But fervent prayer ignites contractions that lead. I don't want to be doing this if we ain't partying. Right? When I'm in the end zone, I got my end zone dance. That's what they all do. They make up their dance. They bump in. Why? Because they just gave birth to something. They just scored a touchdown. They just advanced. Fervent prayer ignites contractions that lead to life-producing pushes. You see people in the gym. Ah! You ain't doing nothing, bro. You got 25 on each side. Ah! Stop. You ever hear that car going down the road? You can't see it, but it's making a lot of noise. But you can't see it because it ain't made it down. It ain't going nowhere, but it. Yeah, I want life producing pushes. I don't want to push for nothing. A contraction is when the muscles of your uterus tighten. Remember? Up like a fist and then relax. You see this? It's very important. I don't know about you, but for me, I've went through tight seasons. I went through loose seasons. I've tightened up because I didn't want to be hurt. I've loosened up because I want to trust again. There's seasons where God wanted me to sow. I tightened up my fists. And there were seasons that I loosened my fists and gave freely and cheerfully. Everybody goes through life. Life is one big contraction. And if you don't learn how to push, contractions will kill you. Contractions will push you out of the game. Contractions will discourage you if you don't learn how to what? Push. And if you don't have midwives on your side. It's a whole nother message to talk about the midwife. But you need midwives to encourage you. You need people in your corner that will encourage you. Contractions help push your baby out. Contractions help push your baby out. When you're in true labor, your contractions last about 30 to 70 seconds. and come about 5 to 10 minutes apart. I love how he makes the body. He ain't just trying to contract. There's a little breathing season. Whew. Help me, Lord. Give me some water. Give me some water. Then you start to, then you do it again. They're so strong. Why did I highlight this? They're so strong that you can't walk or talk in some seasons. I can't explain to you. I don't even care to ask. I didn't ask too many people to pray for me. I'm done asking people to pray for me. I've sown and sown. You ever been in so much pain and frustration you can't even explain it to nobody? It ain't even worth it. I just can't explain it. Like, stop talking to me. It's my, all you can do is point to where the problem is. Do I have anybody that's been in a place where you didn't feel like going no further and you didn't feel like talking no more? I don't want to talk about it. It's crushing me on the inside. Okay? They're so strong that you can't walk or talk. Listen, during the contractions. There are seasons when God is trying to give birth in your life where you need to be still and shut up. I'm trying to help you because you're so frustrated, you're not speaking agreement. You're working against yourself. Those seasons where you are frustrated and you're complaining, you're murmuring, that's what got the children of Israel in trouble. Listen, not the murmuring itself, but the perception that was caused by murmuring. Murmuring tweaks perception. Murmuring and complaining blinds you. They're so strong that you can't walk or talk during them. Why have you been experiencing pain? It's because it's time to push. It's time to push. Part of me want to stir you up and get you excited. Because you should be excited. But for some of you, you actually have to get it in your spirit. Because you came to church ready to live life the same way and just invite God on a journey. But journeying and questing is two different things. We on a love quest. Journeys is just like whatever come, whatever wind blows, I'm in. Hey, you want to go out tonight? Sure, I'm not doing nothing. A quest says, no, I got to get up in the morning. I'm going somewhere. Quest is intentional. And what you need to make your mind up today is that you're going to make some choices that people may not like, but that choice is helping you what? Push. The devil going to fight because your choice is going to cause you to spend more time with God. It's going to cause you to get closer with God. And then that's going to result in your family getting stronger and your husband or your wife being more happy, whatever it may be. But it's time to make choices. Why? Because it's time to push. It's time to what? Push. Not everybody can be in the labor room. Not everybody is a good voice to push. I'm irritated right now. I just don't need, your tone is not good. You squeal, you squeak, your voice too deep, you stink, I smell it. Because when you're pregnant, them smells get more sensitive. I'm telling you, you're in a very sensitive season. You're in a very sensitive season. It's time to press. That's why you're in pain. That's why you're going through challenges. And those challenges, you look around you, here you go. You're like, man, I got everything. I got money. I got a spouse, like I'm good. But on the inside, conflict. Inside, no satisfaction. Inside, there's pain. Laying on the pillow, God, is this it? He says, it's time to press. It's time to purge. It's time to get rid of some things. It's time to be intentional with your time. It's time to purge. Look, I don't want good, I want God. I don't want pretty, I want promise. Yeah. Yeah, I don't care if it's sweet or sour. I just want Jesus. I just want promise. I don't care. I just want Jesus. It's time to purge. And it's time to prosper. It's time to prosper, absolutely. We're in a baton handing off season in history. The T.D. Jakeses and the Dr. Godots and the men and women of God that have labored for this generation are getting older, and it's time for the next generation of soldiers to rise up and stand. If you love your parents and you love your grandparents, you shouldn't be watching your parents serve God harder than you. They're serving. Part of their serving is intercessory serving. They standing in the gap for you. And they've been standing in the gap for you. But it's time for the next Billy Grahams, the next T.D. Jakeses, the next Oral Roberts, the next Cummins, the next Joyce Myers. Whoever your person is, it's time for a next. Say next. Generation too comfortable. All we worried about is the next cell phone and the next raise and the spouse. And no, man, if we don't get it together and focus in this season, then we're going to hand off the world to a generation that's unequipped, don't have no faith. You're not born for you. You're born for them. There's something in you. You had to be a seed in order to have a tree. And you had to be a tree in order to serve other people who can have a seed so they can have a tree. I planted my first plum tree because at lunchtime we had some plums. And I took a seed home, went to my grandmama's yard, and I planted the plum tree. Guess what happened? I walked away from that tree, didn't water it, didn't do nothing. I ain't know nothing about it. Might have watered it a couple days. But guess what? Plums grew. And plums grew over because I planted it right by the gate. Plums grew over to the neighbor's house. I can't eat all them plums. I get sick. What God wants to bless you with, you can't have all that. You'll get sick. You'll get big-headed. You'll get prideful. But the Lord has given you a seed. That job is a seed. That paycheck is a seed. Your son, your daughter is a seed. Your church is a seed. That book you're reading is a seed. Everything starts in what? Seed form. Are you stewarding the seed? It's time to prosper. And why is it time to prosper? Because it's time to produce and then reproduce. Don't get unfocused. Don't get unfocused. What if everything God had for you was not all he had for your bloodline, and you're not going to see everything he promised you? I think that's one of the most liberating things. It's selfish, but it's like, oh, I just got to obey, and you're going to take care of the rest because everything that I'm pregnant with ain't for me anyway. So worrying about how I'm going to handle it. How am I going to do this? God says, man, just listen, hear, and obey, and you will enjoy the fruit of the land. Isaiah 66 says, listen. When the Bible starts off a verse and says, listen, ! What does that mean? Listen. Now, not listen later, not like write it down and then put it, and then listen later. Listen. Incline your ears. A sound of uproar is coming from the city. Gangsta. A sound of uproar, that's called stirring. There's a sound of uproar is coming, not to the city. See, you didn't even know that you are partaking in something that God is calling other people attention to. And the sound has nothing to do with people walking through those doors. The sound has everything to do with walking through kingdom doors, no matter where they are. But there's a sound coming from this city that was not here before. It's a sound from the temple, the body of Christ, the believer, the worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. It is the thunder of Yahweh. You know your voice put the sound to the thunder of the Lord. We're not just in here worshiping. When we trust in the Lord and that accumulative sound, that's a thunder that represents what God is doing. It's pushing forth what God is desiring. It is impregnating wombs. It's calling dry bones to life. Man, God is alive in this city called Vancouver. It is the thunder of Yahweh as he completely punishes his enemies. Woo! See, before you get what he has for you, you got to get out the way and let him take the grips off of the people that got their hands on your stuff. He is completing a cycle. He is punishing the enemy. That's why I said it's been too long. You cried too long. And I can stand here boldly and talk about this because what God has for me has nothing to do with what I've done for him. Zion gave birth suddenly. Man. Another part of inducing, there's mothers who have a history of having the baby quick. See, we got some whys later of why inducing take places as well, is because there's some people who have a history of quick delivery. You say, suddenly, even before going into labor, she delivered a son without a painful contraction. Why was a son important? Because a father back in the day, if they didn't have a son, it was thought, it was believed that that man did not live on. But also that birth of a son, a woman was her whole point. She would get killed if she could not give birth to a son. She was worthless if she could not give birth to a son. And that son represents the living on of heritage, the living on of inheritance, that name, that family name, that surname. And that's why you find, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten daughter. No, son. Why? So Jesus could live on. And what you're giving birth to in this season is something that is going to cause your children, children's children, children's children to 1,000 generations to what? Live on. You're not about to give. You're not. Nothing wrong with daughters. Nothing wrong with women. But just in the spirit realm, what you're about to give birth to is a son. You're about to give birth to something that is going to continue legacy. The blessing you about to walk in ain't about a car. It ain't about none of that. It's about legacy, what you about to walk in. God has to give this birth this season at this time. The Bible says in a few places, in the fullness of time. We're in a place where it's the fullness of time. The fullness of time. Say it's time. Come on, say it's time. And I'm out of time. Give God a hand. Come on, give God a hand. Give God a hand. Can we just worship him for one moment? Give God a hand. Can you lift your voices? Can you lift your voices? You push. You push. We push and we push and we push. Don't be afraid to push. If you're too weak to push, you got some pushers around you. Look at somebody on the left and right of you and behind you. Say, I'll push with you. but we ain't gonna stop pushing. Just tap me in when you need a push.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day. And in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.